Welcome, it's SB Pod. Stanford Steve is here. How are you?
Excellent. You?
I'm good. Card is lengthy. It's good. It's always good when I have a card.
Outline.
Yeah, got to keep it buttoned up. Mm-hmm. Because if there's one thing that the Texans' six-year-old football team learned, it's that not having a play sheet is a problem. We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Yeah, I got a lot of questions.
Okay. I feel like that who's good in the NFL, we do it. Everyone that has a podcast is sort of in the same spot. But in the middle of October, as we approach Halloween weekend, we've seen enough football to have an idea. And yet, let me just start with the New York Giants. Is that a good team?
They're good.
Okay. Right. You said that like broccoli. It's good.
Not no, like I love you. Broccoli.
Yeah, I like it too. Steamed?
Yeah.
Little lemon pepper.
What other ways to have it?
Can't you boil it or something? I don't know. I just steam it. Like you cook it in water.
Yeah.
I put it in a steamer.
Oh. Okay.
Anyway, you didn't say it like, yeah. Like it wasn't, they're not ice cream good. Like, yeah, give me some of that.
No.
And yet, what am I supposed to say about them? That they're not good? I just don't know how long you can keep winning games like they did against Green Bay, against Baltimore, against Jacksonville. I mean, if you want to keep relying on fourth quarter magic tricks, well, at some point, that hat of yours is going to run out of rabbits. All that said, Giant fans, you're 6-1. No one's saying, I'm not saying you're not good. I'm just saying you and Minnesota are great examples of teams with really good records who, when I'm saying in the old days of Russillo and tiers, we're not putting you in Wilco, if you remember that tier. You're a long way from Poop Town. But I just don't know. I just don't know what to do with teams like that. But I'd rather be you than Green Bay or Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah. They have double the wins.
Do
for
they
sure.
Stink? Does Green Bay did you watch any of Tampa?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Carolina's defense is nice.
They are. They have pieces, and that's what's going to be interesting to me. Trade deadline coming up. I know people don't think about it as much as we talk about baseball or NBA trade deadline, but I think the Panthers might be done. I mean, you look at the defensive side. You got a top pick in Horn, who's a cornerstone. Burns, I don't like if they're going to get
don't,
that from
don't
McCaffrey.
Trade him. Don't trade him.
No. So you got a D end. You got a corner. You got a receiver and DJ Moore. I mean, that's three pretty good pieces right there that I would feel good about going moving forward. Now, unless somebody goes crazy with some offers. I mean, how much the McCaffrey trade talk changed from two firsts and then Burns possibly was two firsts, and then you see what they get for McCaffrey. I mean, that was an overhaul, and that was great for them. Then they go out and win against Tampa. So I think they might be done. I know people were talking about they're selling after, fire sale. I don't think so. I think there's too much good young on that roster.
But with respect, Carolina is a topic. Tampa Bay is the topic. Okay. What are they? That Tom Brady, they got in the red zone, and Brady on three straight downs, just it looked a mess.
Yeah.
We all understand he doesn't like to be pressured. No quarterback does. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I've said he looks joyless. That's continues. I wonder how different that game is if Evans hangs on to that bomb first series. I really wonder. Mm-hmm. And I know it's idiotic to say with 13:30 to go in the first quarter, does a game change? That mm-hmm. one did. Because they go up 7-0 on that, and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Now we're good. Here we go, fellas. Mm-hmm. That's all it takes. But I don't know. I watched a bunch of the Washington game. They were in town, left hand up. Who were with mm-hmm. Commanders? Rodgers, I mean, broken's a word you use when you're beyond repair. I don't think broken's the right word. but so limited offensively. Again, it's so strange to me. It's so strange to see those quarterbacks look the way they look.
Because we've never seen it. That's what's crazy.
Right. Okay.
People can't say, and what they've been able to do and why they've been so great, they've been able to adapt. Mm-hmm. And right now, they can't adapt because they don't have anybody up front that could keep them upright consistently. So when you look at what they're doing, Evans drops the bomb. Buccaneers can't run for anything. So how do you go about that? When Brady was the best ever, play action. Why am I going to respect the run action when you can't run the ball?
Yeah.
You're screwed. So now his timing is all messed up because now he's got to go all quick throws. Does he have the guys that could separate right away? I think you've seen people take that stuff away. And then what happens when you take away first and second read? Pressure gets to you because you don't have a good old line. And then on the other, Green Bay, I'm really confused because, I'm sitting there watching with Hasselbeck and it's 20, it's 14-3. And then, the Commanders just start doing their thing. Their defense has played lights out, going back the last couple of weeks. They played over their heads. They try hard, which is always great to see. And I wish I could say that about every team, but we don't. But you look at their plan and they go fourth down and they draw it up for one of those quick outs to Dobbs, who doesn't have a catch on the day. And Sammy Watkins doesn't block his guy. He runs a route. So the guy stuffs him, can't catch it. And I'm just like, you have Aaron Jones, you have Dylan, you have a guy, a tight end in Tonyan that he loves. And that's what you go game on the line. That's what the Packers drew up and went with. I don't know. I don't feel like the quarterback and head coach who calls the plays are on the same page there. And I sure as hell feel like there could be something with Tampa because Brady has always had a plan. And I don't know if Byron Leftwich has ever been here. And I think that's a factor in that. So I think it's a combination of problems between the person calling the plays and that quarterback knowing what they have and not being able to adapt as much.
It's all interesting. Their records, if you are what your record says you are, their record says they're sub 500. And that's typically not what they've been.
And the Buccaneers are in first place.
There's also that. So is Seattle.
Yeah.
I said, I did Dave Pasch's podcast and I was talking about Seattle and said, good for them. And I said, when you say good for them, it feels patronizing, like you're patting a little kid on the head going, good for you over there with your math tables. I'm not trying to be patronizing. It's just that before the year, they trade away Russell and Geno Smith's your starter. And let's be honest, Geno was like a guy on inside the NBA and like who he played for. He was not a guy that was seen as a starting quarterback. What do you have, 6 starts in 5 years or 5 and 6, whatever it was?
Yeah.
He was a guy you had around in case of emergency, break glass. Well, now he's playing well, and they're 4-3. And good for them. Are we talking about a good football team? I don't know. I thought the Chargers were going to be good. They haven't looked good once this year.
Mm-mm.
Not once. And I understand Allen's hurt. Now Mike Williams is hurt. But, every team in the NFL could say so-and-so is hurt. Every single team.
Exactly.
And next man up's cliche, but that's what it is. Look at the Panthers. They went with Walker as their quarterback, and he's going to be the quarterback moving forward. So cry me a river, man. Figure it out.
Exactly. Exactly. No one cares.
No, no one. Was the old Lou Holtz line, the 90% don't care and the other 10% are happy that it's happening to you. So the Chargers, that game was so eye-opening just watching it because it's and it's funny because fantasy can be the type of thing where, I've got this guy starting, so you're paying attention to each side. You're actively consuming the game in terms of that, which makes you pay attention. And as the longer you watch, what are the Chargers doing? What do they do well? That's the thing I keep asking myself about all these teams. What the Giants do well? They hang around and win late. Great. That's an awesome trait to have. No one's saying that's a bad thing. But you talk about what's sustainable. Can you keep doing that? It's hard to do in the NFL. but it's a hell of a lot harder if you don't doing any, if you're not doing anything well, and the Chargers aren't doing anything well. And I don't know. That's seeing a team like Cincinnati, who looked a little iffy earlier this year, just have a game where they looked like that. Burrow threw for 480, right? Boyd, Chase, Higgins, everyone's doing their thing. And those are the type of Sundays that good teams have. Not every week, but from time to time. The kind of game where you just like, all right, that's what your good looks like. I just feel like so many teams in the NFL so far through seven games just haven't put a tape out that's what their good looks like. And so Brady said it a few weeks back, it's just a lot of bad football. It really is. It's the weirdest NFL season I can remember in, I don't know, ever.
Well, it goes back to the teams I trust. And that's what I was, you know, watching games yesterday. And two of the best teams in football, the Eagles and the Bills, are not playing. And then so now you eliminate that, so you don't have to watch them while you're watching others play. And I look at Kansas City, that I trust them.
Of course.
But you go down the list, I don't know if there's any others.
How long is the list?
I think that's it. I really do
what?
Because
they played this week.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Because
I trust Dallas's defense.
And that's what I'm saying. I was going to get to them. Like, I trust the Bengals offense. I trust the Cowboys defense. I don't trust what they're going to do week to week. The Vikings. Well,
yeah, I mean, like, look, Dak said it himself. I mean, that take his name off those stats, that's a Cooper Rush game. He had one touchdown. It was under 2 minutes to go in the game, and they were ahead 17-6. Mm-hmm. What? They didn't win because of him.
No.
They didn't win because of Cooper Rush. Okay, they didn't win because of Dak either. They won because their defense is hellacious.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not taking anything away from the New York teams, but they've done what they needed to do to win games. So that's a credit to them. Now, this NFL season, when you're in this record, that turns into a marathon because you haven't been here. You haven't been here with this group of guys.
Hey,
you really find out.
You can't possibly trust the Jets. Look at their schedule. Huh. Look at their schedule. Here's their next month and a half. Patriots, Bills, Patriots, Bears, at Vikings, at Bills. So those are the next six.
Mm-hmm.
2, 4. That's the next six. So mid-December, you're 5-2. Awesome. It sucks for Breece Hall. It sucks for Vera Tucker. Those are two massively important pieces. So you lose two incredibly significant pieces on your offense, and now you get ready to play six games against outside of the Bears. You know, it's heavy hitters.
Yeah.
And whatever the Patriots record is, the Patriots still look at you and go, you're the Jets.
Yep. No doubt. And their fans, though, more so. But, you know, Miami, can't trust. Not yet. No way. They're not there. You know, the Browns, good God, find another way to lose a game. Tennessee, you know what you're getting there. I don't know if it's good enough to win late in the season.
They'll fight you. We love Vrabel. But, I joked around on SportsCenter. I said, kind of like Vrabel. Maybe not the prettiest thing in the world, but they'll fight you.
I think Vrabel's very pretty.
He's a handsome man.
Stallion.
There you go.
But no, just one more thing, just going back at Seattle.
Yeah.
It's fun. Like, when you think of Pete Carroll, I think of the old USC teams just, you know, high-fiving, smacking the gum, running up and down the sidelines. And they were scary because they knew you feared them. And I'm not saying anybody fears the Seahawks. But now you see, without that ego at the quarterback position, and he just drained everything out of that team, the energy. Look how much fun they're having.
Yeah, no, I look. It's just
refreshing, really, really refreshing, because that's what I think of with Pete Carroll, and I just didn't get that the last couple of years.
Denver, meanwhile, has 100 points through seven games. Just incredible. I mean, they didn't have Russell last week, but they had him plenty, and they don't score a lot of points.
Mm.
It's an odd season. Really odd NFL season thus far. But yeah, that's why Kansas City, San Francisco gets a bunch of guys back on defense. That defense is frightening. They put 44 on them. Have some. Down 10, win by 21. Nobody does that in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes does over and over again. And that's you know, there's, it's similar to Alabama in this way. They might lose, but they don't ever get their ass kicked.
No,
you just ever, and it's different because obviously one's the NFL, one's college. But it's just you might beat them, but it's scary the whole time. and you just hang on to your butts against a team like that. Before we move on, there's a new ESPN podcast I want to mention, and it's a guy who he came by a few years back. He did our show, and I thought, this guy's going to be a star in media whenever he chooses to be. The C.J. McCollum Show. Every week, New Orleans Pelican star C.J. McCollum discusses names and storylines in and around the NBA with perspective from inside the locker room and on the floor. You can follow the C.J. McCollum Show wherever you are listening to this podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Speaking of college,
yeah.
I got a bunch of stuff written down. I don't know if none of it's necessarily specific game related to last week. That's a little more who's good there too. But just what's the topic that's front of mind for you in college football?
TCU. How good are they? Mm-hmm. It's not their fault. Quarterbacks get hurt when they play them.
Nope. But we'd like to see it play against a starter for four quarters, especially when we have the other side ahead 28-10. Nothing personal. Thought we were going 7-2 in winners, and then like, wait, who's this guy?
How
do we? It's Monday. Do we know what happened to Martinez yet?
No. Thanks for that great broadcast. I mean, good God, get a runner and get down to the sideline. That SID must be laughing. It's like they don't have anybody here. I wonder why they're doing a broadcast. Our quarterback's out. How does that work? It's 2022.
They just need an update on what the deal was. Okay, so but about them. I mean, they've had a month of big games in a row. They've won them all. Went to beat the crap. Well, they didn't beat the crap out of Oklahoma. They beat Oklahoma. Then they beat Kansas. And then they beat Oklahoma State. And then they beat Kansas State. And they've erased some significant deficits. And now they go to West by God, Virginia. Are you all familiar with the song called Hurricane Season by Trombone Shorty? It accompanies a segment called Winners.
Mm.
Now, I went against TCU last week, and it was not a winner, but you can be sure I'm going to have West by God, Virginia.
That's how I feel about the Giants in the NFL, because I'm going to have Seattle. I know that. Anyway. Well,
yeah, and you had Jacksonville, and you lost because, I mean.
Right side. Anyway, they were right side.
I agree. They were better most of the game. Why do NFL coaches hate points? That's a whole other.
That's a whole different podcast.
Yeah, it is. It is. But do you doubt TCU?
Heck no, not now.
Neither do I.
I mean, I have because I didn't think it was sustainable, but that offense is real, and good God, can we rank them higher? Like, well, who else has done what they've done?
Nobody. I roll my eyes at the SEC bias conversation, but if an SEC team had done what they did, they'd be ranked higher.
They'd be ranked one. That's what they would be doing. And I'm not saying they should be ranked one.
I hear you, but they'd be higher. Come on. They'd be higher than, what are they right now? Six?
I think they're seven.
That's stupid.
They're behind Alabama.
I mean, if Bama played TCU, they'd be favored. So, I mean, I have a hard time with that one. But
hey, I'll take my share against Alabama this year.
Well, that defense, TCU would score on them all day.
Yeah.
I don't want to get bogged down in that, although I do have a conversation of who would you rather play that involves two teams in a minute.
Okay.
But TCU's put it on tape, man, and the Big 12 still standing. The Pac-12 loses its unbeaten team last week, but if you're allowed to lose in other conferences and get better, right, you can absorb it like a punch.
Mm-hmm.
Then Oregon's game against Georgia week one, where they got obliterated. Look at them now.
Mm-hmm.
You want to play them now?
Mm-mm.
Buckle up.
No.
So I just wonder, is a team like that going to be allowed to have a loss? Because you're allowed to lose in the SEC. You know, it's fine. You're allowed to lose because you get benefit of the doubt. It's been earned. I'm not anti that conference. But I just think that if you're watching Oregon play week in and week out, they've gotten better from week one. And they needed to, but they have.
Mm-hmm.
I just I don't know. It's the when you lose the way they lost, that gets held against you in a different way. And maybe it should. I mean, like Bama lost to Tennessee, and that was a coin flip game. They lost by three.
Had a field goal to win.
Should have bled the clock and made it either we win or lose on this kick. They didn't, and they paid the price. But as you look around the landscape for that other team, right? Because you got Ohio State, you got Michigan. One of those two separates.
Yeah,
I think you've got Georgia, Bama, Tennessee, and there's that fun round robin that gets involved. And there's others there because there's plenty of landmines you could trip on along the way. But that's what you got there. Same thing in the Big 12. There's a million different places you could trip and stub your toe.
Yep.
But it's just musical chairs for sort of that perceived fourth seat, which before the rankings even come out, it's dumb because things have a way of figuring themselves out. Mm-hmm. I just think it's fun, Steve, that I feel like there are way more teams right
now
that we're talking about. That unlike the NFL where we say, are you good? I'm like, I think they might be good.
No doubt. And when you go back, and I've said it for a month now, we've had a ranked versus ranked game in the Pac-12 for a month. It's been awesome. It's great because I've played in those venues. I know what it's like when those teams are good. It's so much fun to go on the road in that conference and see it. And you got to see what Oregon brings to the table there. And yes, they're going to get that loss by Georgia hung over their head the whole year. But that's plenty motivation for a team that has so many new faces in that program. And you could see it's like, that's fine. We know we lost to Georgia. We're going to go beat whoever we play. And they got a couple more monster home games with Utah coming in and Washington coming in, which is a real, real heated rivalry. But it's just fun to see all these teams up there and teams that have a chance. And it's going to be really, really interesting because if I'm the loser of Ohio State, Michigan, and I'm going to be looking at everybody's going to be talking about the one-loss team in the SEC that gets left out, I got to be like, you know, hold on here. Like, why aren't we deserving? What makes that decision? So much of a benefit for them. So there's a ton more games to be played, and now you find out. You know, now you find out what you have. Most teams already had their bye week. Bama's got theirs. And for the first time since 2019, this morning, I thought about the idea of LSU matching up with Alabama and if they could do it. And now it's announced it's going to be a night game. We've been there for those. There's nothing like it in the sport. And I mean, LSU with a bye week now, and they always get the bye weeks before. That is going to be so much fun because
I don't want to put our business on the streets, but there's been talk about someone down there scrambling the Bayou Air Force.
Oh,
we might need to try to make a play. Although I think if I go down there, I'm afraid somebody from the athletic department is going to ask me for a check because I said I'd pay the fine if they played neck and they played it. I just wear a disguise. I'll just get a disguise.
Yeah. Oh, it's Halloween season. You get a wig.
I blend in very easily wherever I go. LSU, thanks, by the way, for coming up big for some winners. I had no read on them. That Tennessee win that they have down there, just Tennessee win over LSU looks more and more impressive over time. Some weird stuff happened in the special teams, but whatever. Tennessee was better by a lot that day.
Mm-hmm. And LSU, I mean, that I think it's two straight since the Tennessee game. They've started two true freshmen at tackle. And look at what they're doing running the football. And when I think about the matchup, I think about LSU's talent and defensive line because Alabama's offensive line is not what we're accustomed to.
Not vintage.
Now, the guy getting the snap, good Lord. He just does things that are just unbelievable to watch. So you're going to have to deal with him for 60 minutes. And we saw Tennessee do it, but hey, they're going to get their crack. And it's just something that popped in my head this morning that I thought about with both of those teams being on a bye week. But like, just going back to TCU, like if TCU played Clemson right now, who are you picking?
TCU because of their offense.
Me too.
That's the question that I was going to get to when it comes to Clemson. They win a game against Syracuse where Syracuse had a double-digit lead on them.
Yeah.
The one call that really turned the game, I think, against Syracuse. Still had a chance late, didn't let a lot of time get off the clock. I don't know what they were doing. You can't dilly dally. You want to beat Clemson, you got to beat them. Can't kind of wish it to be, right? Hope's not a plan. Got to have a plan. But if we're talking about who's got more pros, the answer is obvious. If we're talking about who's got more of a rep, the answer is way obvious. Mm-hmm. But if I ask you, who would you rather play Saturday out of the ACC, Clemson or Wake Forest, who would you rather play?
Clemson, because they don't bring a fearing offense to the table. And I get it. They made the move to Klubnik. He came in, but they didn't win because he threw the ball over the yard. That's
no, and,
they didn't
and
win.
Dabo said DJ's our quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you. I think the thing about college football that scares you to death is what are they doing offensively, and can we slow it down? I don't know if people know what Wake does. I don't even know if they know who their quarterback is. And yeah, I know Clemson went into the snake pit that is Winston-Salem, and they got an overtime victory. So yeah, they beat Wake. Yep, they did. But that's a coin flip game. And Sam Hartman is the name of their quarterback, if you're not familiar. And they run this mesh scheme that others are trying to adapt. They do it better than anybody else. And it's just such a pain in the ass to play against. And they score tons of points every week. And so I don't know that this is they're better than. I'm just saying I'd rather play Clemson because I might have a chance because they might struggle on offense some. Whereas if I play Wake, I have to be buttoned up on offense because if I'm not, I'm down by 14. Because Wake's just going to play the fight song all freaking day. And what are they? They're 10? Well, they were close to that.
Tied for 10 with SC. Oof, right. Those are two offenses.
They really are. Wake's got some games the rest of the way, but like you and I have already had this conversation. I don't know who Clemson's losing to. I don't see a loss on their schedule.
Are the Echoes going to wake up in South Bend?
No.
I don't think so.
They lost to you, all due respect.
Fact. You mentioned mesh scheme.
Yeah,
offensive scheme.
Wait, not yet. Not yet. Okay. I have one last thing. A&M and Miami.
Okay.
Talked about both those programs at some point earlier in the pod. I don't know what to say about them, but originally I had it written down to ask you which has been sort of more disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
But the answer is obvious. Because Cristobal's in his first year there, to be reasonable, you've got to give the guy some time. You don't just press a button and have everything be the way you want it to be. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about. Everyone can sell optimism. Everyone can do the social media. Everybody can do the recruiting bit and say it's great. But it isn't. You've lost at home to Middle Tennessee, Duke, and North Carolina, and you've lost on the road to A&M. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Already. You still have games to come. It can be fine eventually. It's just not what you thought it would be immediately. It's not just an immediate, we're good now. Jimbo's in his fifth year at A&M. And all that talk about what they got, and they got an incredible hall of players, and they've recruited at a high level for years. He's in his fifth year. You've got to be more than this now.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what I don't assume anyone's talking about they want to make a change. I mean, it would cost them $94 million or something. I don't, mm-hmm. and they've got more money than God. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what it is. And I don't know when they reach a tipping point where they're just saying, they'll just say, this isn't good enough. We can't just keep being fifth in the West.
How similar do you, this is what I came up with. Okay. I was just racking my brain. Like, what have we seen this? And the answer is no, because we haven't seen a coach get $100 million contract. But I'm just trying to rack my brain with like schools, big name schools that are super frustrated and are kind of, you know, they're just in a situation we haven't seen. And I go back to Michigan when Harbaugh got there, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
They couldn't beat Ohio State.
Yep.
Had to beat Ohio State. You know, they talked about the players not being good enough and had to recruit better. But what ultimately had to happen was the head coach had to take a sip of some humble juice and assess things in the staff. And what did he do? He went out and changed guys that were calling plays. And what do you know? It happens.
Went to the playoff.
They went to the playoff. So that's what's going to happen. They're not paying $80 million whatever on the buyout.
Here's the tough thing though. I think that I talk a lot about competitive arrogance, which doesn't bother me. In fact, I like it. Mm-hmm. And I think a guy like Jimbo has competitive arrogance because he's accomplished it. Harbaugh hadn't in college football, right? Now, granted, guy went to Super Bowl, different kind of thing. But in college, he had been humbled because he couldn't beat that one team. Mm-hmm. And then they did. They got to a playoff, took a step forward, and they're a really good team this year. In Jimbo's case, I think you've done it. And you're paid at a new place because of what you did at an old place. And I think it's hard to humble yourself. But I would think at some point, you've got to have enough self-awareness about your circumstance. Yeah. To say, this ain't, you know, it's not good enough. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, I guess. I mean, that's what they say. They fascinate me because, I mean, I think I've told this story before, like going there once to see it, and it's an interesting place and incredibly well-funded. And
hotter than hell.
It is warm. I've been there more than once, been there several times. It was very warm when we went there. That is true. But wanting to be great, having the funds to spend, that's not the reason you're not great. That's all there.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not great. And I don't know. It's very, very interesting to me. How long do you get doing this? I don't know.
Hey, in today's college football culture, it's amazing. Like, people are just pouncing. I think it was 10:30. I went on check some scores on Twitter, and it's just A&M just trash. I'm like, wow, people just love when this team loses. And I get it. People want to make a big deal and they're mad about how much money he gets and this and that. I think it's pretty simple, and that's the move that has to be made. And I think it too. I thought he did a great job losing Elko, who's doing an unbelievable job at Duke.
Yep.
And he goes out and gets DJ Durkin, who's a guy I think the world of. And that defense, I mean, that place, they go down 17-0 in the blink of an eye, and that place is going mayhem because South Carolina never beaten A&M. I think there's a possible trophy on the line, and they battled, man. They battled. You have talent on the roster. I think one move that needs to be made. Okay. And I think that's it.
All right. Now, that's the thing that must be the most frustrating is you're not miles away.
Correct.
But it doesn't make a difference.
In a world where everything
might as well
gets blown up, when things are bad, they get blown up worse.
They're under 500. You're sub 500. Come on. Okay. Whatever that last class got or didn't get in NIL money. And by the way, you don't need to apologize. You're allowed to spend it. Hell, I would want people to know we got big money boosters out here to help. But this wasn't what anybody signed up for. All right, what did you want to ask me?
You mentioned mesh scheme.
Yep.
I think you mentioned a couple spread schemes.
Yep.
The flag football team is back in session.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Texans, correct?
That's us.
Game one, score.
Well, Sam, my son, who's very good at math, informed me at one point, Daddy, it's 42-6. Yep, it is, son. I think we're going to lose. No, we're going to lose. There's only a couple more possessions left. It was grim.
Okay.
We came face to face with a monster, juggernaut in the flag football world.
Mm.
I just want to say to anybody in the Bethesda area, if your Saturday mornings include a game against the Raiders, buckle up. All right. They got scheme.
Mm.
They've got some youngsters that know the plays, which also means they have plays. Our group, we're mostly in the go out and get open space because we're six. Okay. And, you know,
not rank six years old.
It's six. And occasionally somebody will get open. The dad who's coaching needs to put the ball in the money, and then the catch needs to be made. And there's a lot involved in that equation.
Mm.
Let me just tell you about the Raiders. Ball's on time. Man's wide open. Catch is made. Play the fight song. Repeat. Okay. And I mean, it was great because I'm thinking my guy is very, very aware of the score and he's very results oriented. We haven't taught him about process yet. He just wants to win. And I'm like, wow, he's really going to be down. And nah, man, we went to Chipotle. We got some lunch. And he said he had a lot of fun. And then I screamed at him. He said, you had fun? You guys got beat 42-6. You better straighten up. You better run your plays. What's your assignment? I didn't say that. I just said, that's awesome, son. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. I have to hope that the Raiders are the ceiling, okay? Because if they're not, then the Texans, we really need to get some play cards stat.
Mm.
The problem is I don't know if we're a capable unit in terms of playing assignment football. I don't know that we can get anyone running. Everyone wants to go deep.
Yeah.
I mean, and then again, the pass being on time and the catch being made, you're asking a great deal of the Texans, not of the Raiders. Raiders, we're buttoned up.
All right. Well, the bar has been set. The bar has been set.
I didn't see other teams that looked like Alabama. Everyone else looked like maybe they were just kind of in the run around and see what happens place as well.
Are you Iowa bad on offense, or you just haven't gotten the ball in the right guy's hands?
I'm not ready to cast aspersions and label anyone, you know, Ference. There's been no nepotism here. There's been no uprising within the fan base. I mean, we gotta put
in some work here. That's all.
We're six. I think we've got a couple of difference makers.
Okay. There we go.
And I mean, what we'll figure out is who's interested and capable of remembering where to go.
And
we'll try to get some people out in space.
Yeah, we got to, like, can we do like a little NIL maybe to recruit? No.
I'd love to try. I mean, we'll bring the guys to Chipotle. We'll bring you. Who wants a kid's case?
Who wants smash burritos? Let's go.
Fine.
I'll run it down and out.
There's a lot of stuff on the way home. We'll take you. Mostly I just think we need some visuals. We need some play cards where we see everyone that does this, you do that. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to run a little fake. We're going to fake it to you and see the fake. That's that mesh scheme. And that's where you get everybody to jump up. And then you just have seven or eight options deep.
There we go.
Let
me establish the run.
You're only allowed one run per first down line.
We'll make it good.
Exactly. We'll get a little sleight of hand and we'll get the secret weapon involved. My guy Cooper.
There we go.
He's a difference maker.
All right.
Okay. But again, Bethesda kid ball.
Hey, look at Oregon. Look at Oregon week one. And now look at them.
We got beat like Oregon. And I just want to tell everyone out there, the Raiders are Georgia. So
change your name to the Ducks. There you go.
Act accordingly. Be buttoned up. Play assignment football because they're gonna.
Okay.
Before we go, shout out to the Philadelphia Phillies fans. I know this is hard for you because you're a Mets fan.
Mm-hmm.
But can you take your Mets fandom and put it to the side and just admit that watching the games in the bank and watching those people and the bloodlust as they see their team win three in a row to knock off the Phillies and go to the World Series is really cool to see.
Yeah, it's awesome. It really is. You know, I mean, there's one thing I have. It's NL East pride, the best division in baseball.
Like that.
And it's just great to see every team in the NL East go to the World Series and win besides the Mets. So that's what's fun about it. You know, every year you just see another team from the division go to the World Series. It's like, wow, how do they not get here? But I will say this, okay? And this is what's awesome about baseball, and that's why you always have a chance, is Shami pointed out top five payroll in the sport, the Phillies. But, like, they should be here. You know, like,
right. This isn't some underdog,
the underdog thing. No, like, yeah. I can't buy that. And I get it. You want to play the Rocky theme and everybody goes crazy at the game. I listen, whatever you got to do to get invested, you go ahead and do it. But you look at that lineup up and down. They're superstars. There's all-stars in there. And you look at the pitching staff, and the best thing they did was figure out what they, you know, what to do with the bullpen.
Back into the bullpen.
And those guys have been phenomenal. Yeah. And no lead has been too much for them. I mean, they come back from every freaking deficit there is. And it's really cool to see, knowing a bunch of passionate Philly people. I am happy for them because they're not always in the best of spirits, and now they are.
Roy bad. Really bad. We've been really bad, but now we're really good. Going down to Wawa. Get us. The problem is the most fun word to say in a Philly accent. I can't because they'll beat me. But anyway, they're playing a team that hasn't lost. I do find this interesting. Houston's the favorite. They ought to be. Mm-hmm. They haven't lost yet. But it's really interesting how often teams who have been cast in the role the Phillies are in, with the fewest wins, last to get in. Atlanta was in this place last year. The Nationals were in a somewhat similar spot when they won. How often those teams win. And it has to do with the vagaries of baseball. We understand that. You're different every day based on who your starter is. So it's not the NBA. It's not the NFL. It's not the NHL. Mm-hmm. It's the most coin flip of all these sports. Houston should feel great. They haven't lost and they're the favorite, but the Phillies have every reason to look at history and say, like, 8 of the last 12 teams in their role have won World Series, and no team that arrived in the wild card era unbeaten has won. It's only a couple, but they didn't win. Mm. So I don't know. Also, Scott told the story of betting on the A's against the Reds, and I'll never have a favorite again in my life in baseball. So get to the window on the Phillies, see what happens.
I highly recommend taking the Phillies for a series. I do find it interesting because I want to say, you know, obviously the Phillies are the last team in. Uh-huh. I think they clinched in Houston. They ended the season in Houston and won on Monday, October 3rd, and then they lost on the 4th and lost on the 5th. So that's I like that even better, knowing that they got a taste of it late in the year.
All right.
And we'll see.
Yeah, I just really enjoy. And look, Petco was off the rails, beating the Dodgers. Mm. That was fun as well.
Made that song and it was awful.
Yeah, I think it's his fault.
Was that real?
I don't know. I don't believe anything on the internet. It's like, I'm like you with dinosaurs. I assume everybody is, we're living in a simulation. It's everyone's
the internet is your brontosaurus.
Yes. It's like it's all TikTok stuff. Nothing's real. I don't know. People are influencers. What the f*** does that mean? What? I'm an influencer. Oh, cool. What do you do? I make terrible raps about the Padres. Did you? Okay. So what does that mean? You get to eat at Del Taco for free?
Mm.
Is that a good? That's a regional reference, right? Is that a San Diego place?
Yeah, California.
Right, In and Out. I could have said any. I could have said any California. I'm thinking. I wanted to be regional. California, In and Out. What are the other ones? Jack in the Box, Carl's Jr.
Oh yeah.
What's the best? Rank them.
Come on. There's one.
When you were in Vegas, what'd you do? Immediately.
Immediately, car to In-N-Out.
Triple?
3x3, baby. No lettuce. You don't want anything sliding off. It's the best thing in the world.
Veteran move.
So good.
Okay. So there you go. You have your order when you get to In-N-Out. The fact that we don't have those on the East Coast is so upsetting to me. Mm. But I'm in a good mood. I'm in a good mood. We're going to work on some plays for the Texans for Saturday.
Yeah, we need some oak tag guards. We need GA.
We need so much. We need so much help. That's it. Anything else on the way up?
Taylor Swift, new album.
I don't know anything about it. I just know that one song. I made its reference just as a goof. I said, I'm the problem. It's me. And then all the Swifties were like, wait, are you a Swiftie? And I'm like, I don't know. What's the answer? If I am, sure. I don't know. I don't want to say any of the wrong thing. You know what I mean? I don't want people mad at me. I just know that song's kind of interesting.
Okay.
She's the problem. That's what she said anyway. So I'm just saying, when somebody does something really good, I'll say, I'm the problem. It's me. Because I got cultural cachet. I'm hip. Look like somebody's peepaw. All right, y'all.
We got a trade.
What happened?
Jets got James Robinson from the Jags.
Ooh.
Mm.
That helps because I have him, and ETN's clearly the guy now.
Feels like you're about to just start arising in the standings fantasy.
That's why our team names Keep Your Poise, because see what happens is people lose their poise. You got to keep it. And we are going to keep our poise. We're just going to see where things go.
That sounds like a pregame speech for the Texans next game.
Yeah. And when I look up and the two twins have just left because they're not interested. I don't feel like we have command of the group. I need some social media influencers. I need some TikTok people to help give us something to keep our guys on point.
No, you don't.
We need something. We're going to watch Monday Night Football and go do a show. Hope everybody has a great week. And we'll be back at it. See you soon.